In this report, for some people at least, electric cars are a religion. Now, if you drink that particular Kool-Aid and you believe that particular electric woo-woo, okay, dude, like, free country. In the book of electric revelation, I suppose, EVs are a kind of white horse on which you can ride in and slay the dragon of climate change before slashing the umbilical binding as to evil hydrocarbon enslavement and bring us back into living in harmony with nature, just like in the olden days when the average human lifespan was, you know, roughly 30. But in fact, EVs are not any kind of Swiss Army knife of societal solutions, and they never can be, they never will be. They're really just a battery-powered bag of fake virtue. And here are the top 10 reasons why. I'm Jonathan Durbin from AutoExpert.com.au. Newcast cheap, but Australia only. Website, come on! Let's get right into it, shall we? Reason number one, average people just don't want to own an EV. Now, this is very hard for a proper capital E, capital V evangelist to grasp. It's like heresy on a Coke-fueled bender. But in reality, EVs are just like any other issues seized upon with great zeal by, let's call them, special interest groups. There's rather a lot of this going on at the moment. You've probably noticed it. The Voice referendum recently held here in Australia. So there was all this noise from the fringes, wasn't there? But average people, like one and a bit standard deviations from the median, seemed not to have much of a crap to give about any of that. Feminism is like S squared D squared, dude. Time for a ceasefire, I fear. Perhaps even a treaty. The feminists would, of course, hate that. Gender. So much outrage and conflict on the fringes for a tiny fraction, seemingly, of the population. Average people don't really seem to care, at least not the ones I encounter on a daily basis. Most people just want overarching fairness in society. Less violence, more parity, more prosperity, things like that. That's kind of important to average people. We live in a society that already delivers much more of that than historically was the case for average people. So outside the fringes, I think there are just bigger fish to fry, such as the cost of living, etc. If you identify as the Harbour Bridge or a penguin, that's a private matter for you, and I am completely okay with it, dude. Imagine being the Harbour Bridge. That would be awesome, in some respects. And we could be here all day on the things that people get worked up over, right? But if you're a tradie or something, and you live in the regions, or if you visit the outback, or you live in the city and you've got no off-street parking, there is simply no viable EV solution for you, and there will not be one anytime soon. We buy 18,000 4x4 utes every month in this country. 18,000, which is like 600 a day, okay? And 15,000 large or huge SUVs. And when you put them together, that's roughly one third of total vehicle sales. These are the cars Australians actually want, okay? 110,000 total vehicle sales last month here in Shitsville. 10,000 were EVs, I think. EVs are at best an additional powertrain with kind of novelty that will suit some people. Like, in the fullness of time, maybe as many as one third of all car buyers will be EV buyers, but not more than that, not in Australia. For the majority, EVs are never going to be the preferred option. This report is sponsored by NordVPN. Get 4 extra months of Nord for free now, plus a huge discount at nordvpn.com/aejc. Online security threats and scams are everywhere, but you don't have to be the next victim. That's where NordVPN comes in. Nord does the stuff that you and I don't really understand in the background, hiding your IP address, locking everything down. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Your exclusive auto expert discount is huge right now. Plus, you're going to get 4 extra months completely free. nordvpn.com/AEJC. I'll put a link in the description. Just subscribe, download the app, and connect. One click later, your IP address is shielded and your online traffic is heavily encrypted across as many as 6 of your devices. Nord is the fastest VPN on the planet. It costs only about as much as 1 cup of coffee every month to keep your data, your identity, and your devices secure. Masking your location means you'll also get access to streaming and other services that might be blocked where you live. Plus, you can continue to watch your favorite content when you travel. You might even be able to score some great online travel deals that are unavailable where you live. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Boost your security and enjoy that huge discount plus those extra 4 months completely free. It's totally risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/AEJC. Link in the description. Reason number 2 now. Every car maker that embraces EVs gets burned, financially burned. EVs are a friggin' cash incinerator if you're a car maker. Ford and GM are both sprinting away from their previously targeted EV production, but giving as much enduring lip service to the Biden administration as possible contemporaneously, which is an interesting balancing act. They've already burned billions of dollars. And if you go to the US, you can go to the East Coast or the West Coast or somewhere in the middle, like Chicago. It really doesn't matter. Some podunk town, whatever. How many F-150 Lightnings would you like, dude? And what are you prepared to pay? Because we'll take that. You know, they stretch over the friggin' horizon. People don't want them. Johnny and Hank just don't sound the same. Volkswagen had to bone its post-Dieselgate greenie CEO Herbert Diess and install a hydrocarbon-powered friend of the family, Oliver Blume. And they did that when the true cost of Diess's EV fantasy, which was called Trinity, came to light. And the unions who have 2 seats on the board, did they hate that? The cost of the EV fantasy is what they hated. Now, Mr. Blume's job is to shut it all down, dude, and throw away the friggin' key in the Marianas Trench, right? And get back to hydrocarbon horses all round, but also keep the German Chancellor on side. Another neat balancing act there. Tesla, of course, discounting frenzy. Growth is proving to be unsustainable. The CEO is emerging more and more as a peddler of unmitigated falsehoods repeatedly. The share price is tanking. And just to put that in perspective, it was almost $300 US in July last year. And it was $147 when the market closed last Friday. That's a substantial correction. And it's not over yet. Toyota, of course, is sitting back together with its subsidiary henchmen, Mazda and Subaru, and they've all got a giant shit-eating grin on their faces, right? They've pretty clearly decided that EVs are not the future, and they're anything but worried about this decision at this point. Reason number 3, EVs are not an effective response to climate change. You can look up the National Greenhouse accounts for yourself. They're available online. But in them, you'll find that transport is about 20% of our greenhouse problem in Australia. This is an objective assessment done to a recognised standard by the federal government in a department whose only freaking job is to figure this out. Cars are roughly half of all transport. That's about 10% of the total emissions problem. So if we live suddenly on a magic world where electric cars are everywhere And the electricity used to charge them causes no emissions, nor does the manufacturing or disposal at the end of their lives. Then congratulations, we've just cut our national emissions by 10%. In other words, 90% of the problem persists. Now, if this is a war, that's simply not how you're going to win it, right? Also, if electric utopia is the end goal here, 100% EV light vehicle fleet, Australia, if we can sell 1 million EVs a year, every year, it's going to take 15 years to get there because there's roughly 15 million light vehicles on the road and they would have to all be replaced. And we only really sell about 1 million vehicles a year here, okay? So this is already a fantasy, right? Because global production of EVs in 2023 was 14 million and Australia is 1%-ish of the global vehicle market. Therefore, our pro rata entitlement is about 140,000 EVs max. If things ramp up and we average 500,000 EVs a year for the next 15 years, so pretty much still a fantasy, half of the fleet is going to be EV in 15 years. We'd still have 7-ish million combustion cars on the road, right? We just would. Light vehicle emissions would drop from 10% to 5%. Oi, oi, oi. Reason number 4, cars are just so friggin' relatable, dude. Everyone gets in a car every day, statistically. Therefore, cars are a very convenient political smokescreen. Ministerial asshats such as Chris Bowen and the Minister for Qantas, Catherine King, can be seen to be staunch climate activists doing something, anything to get to net zero by artificially promoting EVs, when in fact they're doing half of two-thirds of fuck all about the climate when they do that. The reality is that Australia is the world's leading coal-exporting country. $83 billion US dollars worth of it in 2022. And we are also the world's number 2 exporter of liquefied natural gas. And that was a photo finish. With Qatar in 2022, 114 billion cubic meters for the Qataris, 112 for us. We're right up there on LNG too, dude. That's methane, right? These are facts. Our hydrocarbon exports represent more greenhouse emissions than Australia's total onshore greenhouse emissions. We are emphatically on team hydrocarbon. This is how Australia rolls, okay? And I'm completely okay with this, don't get me wrong. Climate change is real, humans are causing it, but I'm okay with all of this. A, because our economy depends on it. B, because you can't have civilization without hydrocarbons and hydrocarbon energy. It just doesn't work that way. And C, because you can't lift the developing world out of poverty without supplying it with hydrocarbon energy. It's just not possible, okay? What I'm not okay with, however, is senior executive ministerial douchebags inside the National Monument to the Death of Integrity in Public Life pretending to embrace net zero and at the same time slutting out endless Australian coal and methane to the rest of the world, which is exactly what is happening. Drug dealers behave in this way, albeit with significantly more integrity than our government. The current ministerial proposition to you in the electorate is, don't think about that, dude. Check out these shiny EVs that we're artificially incentivizing. Isn't that clever? Net zero? Shit, yeah. This is, at best, intelligence insulting. Reason number 5. EVs are generally inferior, and not by a little bit. Apart from the higher acquisition costs, the staggering depreciation, the ridiculous insurance premiums, the lower range, the battery degradation over time, the ridiculous drain on rare, toxic, and expensive minerals, the dramatically increased weight, the rare but catastrophic fires that cannot be fought, no spare tyre, the ridiculous downtime just to charge the friggin' things, which is great if you're running a business out there on the road, the hypocritical dependency on coal-fired electricity, and the twats who gravitate towards them. Apart from that, dude, they're awesome. This is why they need to be incentivized, right? In order to sell. Smartphones serendipitously eclipsed the old flip phones because smartphones were unequivocally better. Google Maps has taken a giant dump on paper street directories because it's better. Fuel injection replaced carburetors for exactly the same reason, etc. We could be here all day. This all happened because those technologies were superior to the ones they superseded. Therefore, no government incentives whatsoever were required. EVs require government incentives to sell because they're more shit than combustion for most people out there in society. And of course, when those incentives get turned off, as they did recently in Germany, sales just tank. Okay, so that's reasons 1 through 5 of why EVs will never completely take over. More than sufficient, I feel, to make the average electric utopian's head explode. I said that like it's a bad thing. And we're really only halfway through. If you find yourself having a tantrum at the screen, hit that dislike button, dude, and then subscribe and nudge the notification bell because you know you don't want to miss part 2. Face facts, dude. You're really not happy, are you, unless you're properly outraged? And if reality offends you, don't change. Just pretend you're in a different reality. This works for so many people. Don't forget to leave a comment, too. So entertaining. I always look forward to those. Vent, dude. It's so cathartic. You know you want to. Part 2 is just around the corner too. You can't wait, and I know I can't either.